Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. My conversation with my friend and colleague, Devin Nunes, formerly of Congress, representing the San Joaquin Valley, now the CEO, the guru of Truth Social, where they practice the First Amendment, a social media site. It has much to say about the politics of the moment, which turns on banks. Are the banks trustworthy? Each week we get this question repackaged by experts at the Federal Reserve, at the Treasury, on CNBC, on the constant clatter of the markets. But right now, the question is again introduced after 2 weeks of bumps here that the banks are in question again. The way Bloomberg puts it is, investors brace for another week of turmoil as Mad March ends. That's disturbing enough. This is Bloomberg. This isn't some partisan site looking to make trouble. I want to check on the banks of the Central Valley first, Devin. To your knowledge, are there any banks that are in trouble with long lines outside, with people taking their money out, anything like that?
Not yet, John. What you're really hearing is that the small community banks are beginning to get very worried, as they were during the last banking crisis when I was in Washington and raised these concerns. And that is that we end up with four or five mega banks that are backed up by the federal government. And then it makes it almost impossible for the community banks, small banks, to be started, because essentially the four banks are the government, become the Federal Reserve. And what you've seen happen here in the last few weeks is that's just continued to move in that direction. And you already were seeing consolidation at the smaller bank level. And that's just, I think, going to continue to occur. And you don't see a lot of new community bank startups that used to be really the backbone of small communities, locally run, maybe owned by people in the area, that oftentimes were the best ones to understand, hey, should we give this small business a loan? Do we know the people? Do we know the family? Are they trustworthy? Those are all things that were very valuable. And these, once you become big banks, then everything just becomes a credit score. And you really have, it makes it really hard for that small entrepreneur that needs a small loan, that has a brilliant idea for a startup. It's just going to be very hard to get capital, because the big banks, typically, they don't want to mess around with something that's in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. In fact, I know in agriculture, a lot of the agricultural banks, John, they don't even want to look at a lot of the farms unless they're in the millions of dollars. And so it's really a tough spot, because everybody wants to help small farmers. You want small farmers to survive, but small farmers have a very tough go of it. And that's been that way really for my entire adult lifetime, is that because there's been just so many big banks, and now gotten worse and now getting even worse than that, to have a small farm, you don't need millions of dollars. And so the problem is you need less than that, but nobody will loan it to you. And so that's really, I think, the problem that we see here moving forward, at least in the small business community. I would say that the larger scale, big picture problem is that you saw China and Russia move together. They wanted to take over the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency. And the moves that these fools are making at the federal level is going to make that even easier to happen.
Yes, we have headlines from Europe that also promise doubts about the banking system. So I move to politics, Devin. The Federal Reserve made an announcement midweek that it was raising interest rates another quarter point, aware of the banking crisis, aware that as the interest rates go up, that puts pressure on the liquidity of the banks, their underlying capital. At the same time, inflation is a bite into everybody's pocketbook, especially the most vulnerable of us. So the question is raised, what can the Federal Reserve do? Can it solve inflation, which is a long-term fight to get from 6% back to 2%? Or can it please the banks and not raise interest rates, accepting the fact that inflation is going to remain high? Or can it heed to the White House, the executive branch, and find a balance between the banks and the inflation rate in order to protect employment? Employment plunging would damage any reelection campaign by Mr. Biden. You've seen this before. How does Washington settle this? The lady or the tagger or Biden?
Well, John, I think we're still the same place we were 2 or 3 weeks ago, which is we don't have all the facts yet. And what I don't believe is that this is simply described as, oh, this banking crisis has just been caused because interest rates went up. And all of these really smart people, the smartest ones in the world, were told at Silicon Valley Bank, it was just the interest rates that caused this. And that's the narrative that you see coming from all the major economists in the country and all the major fake news outlets. But, you know, people on Truth Social, we don't see it that way. You know, if you read a lot of the articles that get posted there, the people that are on our platform tend to see that there must be something underlying here. Like, what, there must have been a lot of bad loans on the books. And we won't know that until this all gets flushed out and there's a sale of Silicon Valley Bank. It's just, I think, like we talked about the last few weeks, it's strange that it hit these very woke banks and banks that cater to the richest people in America. Why did those go under first? And how are these people that are the most educated, the most sophisticated, make this mistake of that it seems like banking 101, that when you make a loan, that you make sure you put in the financial instruments to cover yourself. It's really your job as a bank to cover yourself in case the interest rates go up. So I find it hard to believe that they didn't do that, that it's just explained away as if this is just some weird phenomenon of interest rates going up, when traditionally interest rates are not that high. If you go back prior to the last financial crisis, where now we've just been keeping these rates low. So it creates this problem. The Fed is adding all these assets to its balance sheet, and the Chinese and the Russians are now cooperating. You've got the Saudis talking about moving off the U.S. dollar. You've got a lot of people that are pushing and moving to cryptocurrency because they don't trust the Federal Reserve and the United States government. And look, I'm not a big believer in cryptocurrency at all, but I'm also of the strong belief that the Federal Reserve has hopelessly been corrupted. Maybe corruption is not the right word, but they're just completely incompetent working with these four or five largest banks in the world, along with all the wealthiest people, these rich billionaires, that are essentially deciding where they get to bail each other out when they either make mistakes, whether those mistakes are they didn't cover their loans on the idea that interest rates might rise, or even worse, were they making bad loans that they shouldn't have made?
Are you seeing unemployment in the Valley? Are you hearing reports of unemployment outside of Silicon Valley? I understand a lot of thousands of young people have been laid off in Silicon Valley, but that has to do with the pandemic and gaining a workforce that couldn't be sustained once people were outside. But what about the working class of the Valley? Is it suffering setbacks?
Well, the Valley back in 2000, the 2006, 7, 8 crisis, there was a lot of investment into homes. Homes were being built, and then you had high prices, low interest loans. I think everyone probably knows that history, and that really hurt the Valley. It sent the Valley into a really horrible recession. We haven't had that building boom that we had back in 2006, 7, and 8. Now, partly because a lot of people have been leaving California, so there hasn't been the need for additional housing. A lot of the people are actually retired. We used to be a place that people would retire to. Now we're a place that retirees flee to go to other states. So as you know, John, I spend a considerable amount of time in Florida, and I can speak a little bit to that. Florida is still in a position where it's booming. There's a lot of people here, a lot of traffic. I'm actually in Florida today, and they're having trouble getting good qualified people to work in Florida. And so you really have this, as we move forward and look out in the future, we have this kind of tale of two worlds where blue states like California look almost opposite to a red state like, say, Florida or Texas.
And the politics of this, Devin, you have some skill in politics. This strikes me as an outsider, as a blow to the president's plan to announce his reelection. A banking crisis undercuts all confidence in any administration, no matter whether it's Republican or Democrat. Is Joe Biden deft enough to adjust to this, to say, calm down? He did that the first day. Everything's fine. But now, after 2 weeks, it doesn't feel that that's adequate.
Well, John, I still think the odds of Biden running are very, very low. Now, that doesn't mean that both him and Jill Biden and all of the top Biden people don't believe that and aren't preparing for him to run. But you have a lot of people within the Democratic Party know that they can only do so much to hide. He's not going to be able to hide in the basement again, especially if there's a crisis. And last time it was a little easier to hide in the basement and run a campaign because they hid under COVID. And that's not going to happen this time. And so it just looks to me like he's getting worse and worse in terms of his cognitive ability. And it's going to sadly happen to us all at some point, eventually, in a long enough time span, John, the survival rate reaches zero. And it just looks like Biden is on a faster trajectory and has been. And so if you couple the idea or the knowledge that anybody who actually sees something, sees real video of Biden or sees Biden interacting with people, this is not a guy who knows what the hell's going on. And any normal person can see that. Our adversaries see it. Our allies see it. They see it, as we talked about, I think I mentioned this to you last week, with this whole idea that Trump is going to be arrested and he had the raid on Mar-a-Lago. I have a lot of people that I used to work with back in my old intelligence days from countries all over the world that are contacting me saying, is this really happening in the U.S. where, the intelligence and Department of Justice are going after your former president? And they just don't believe it. So then they say, well, God, this can only be happening because Biden's just and his whole administration have been just completely corrupted. And I think where this is going to go, John, if this turns into this banking crisis worsens, if unemployment goes up, you'll see Obama, who's really running the show here, Obama and his people are running the show. You'll see them try to make a move. Now, their preferred candidate has always been Kamala Harris, but of course, I think most objective people who watch politics would say that, the only one possibly worse than Joe Biden is Kamala Harris. She just has not been able to perform on the stage after many, many chances. She was the Obama anointed one in the primaries. She was going to get last place in Iowa after spending some hundred and some million dollars. She bowed out so she wouldn't be embarrassed. Then Obama rescues Biden, puts in Harris, and then she's just floundered on the world stage as it comes to being able to be a good vice president. So I think the Obama people are really struggling because they need to find someone that they can control, and they don't have anybody on the bench right now. And probably the likely candidate in this strange way would be Gavin Newsom, but he's not a guy that I believe is controlled and filled with Obama people. He has his own people, so it would be a changing of the guard. So the Obama regime is doing everything they can to hold on, and I don't think they have a candidate yet that they'll be able to prop up at this point to keep their hold on power.
Devin Nunes, the guru, the CEO of True Social, where they practice the First Amendment. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. Another rainstorm incoming for California. I'm John Batchelor.